Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, ahead of this episode, which is all about home brewing, which is really popular right now, just in general, it's like, even at Whole Foods, and this was maybe even a few years ago when I was still living in Austin, they were selling Whole Foods was selling home brew kits. I can't even remember how much they cost, but they were, you know, there was a box was about yay big, and you can, you know, but it seems like more and more people are doing it. So I was curious, have you ever tried home brewing?
I have never tried home brewing myself. I've been curious. There was a time when I used to go to Barnes & Noble, and I don't know if you've ever been to Barnes & Noble, like during like Father's Day around that time, they would always have those like weird gifts in the middle, and one was those like a home brewing kit. I don't know, it always made me nervous. Home brewing always like made me, I don't know, because it could go wrong. And but that's interesting, because I do make my own like yeast, so, which is like basically the same thing in a sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know during COVID, one of the big popular things was people making their own sourdough. And, like, in a lot of ways, isn't creating a sourdough starter similar to, like, home brewing? You know, it's not the same because, you know, it's a solid versus a liquid, but the general idea, isn't it kind of the same?
Yeah, I mean, you're growing something. You're growing, what is it, bacteria still.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I do have a few sourdough starters still, like, I guess, I feel like we've already talked about it, that I've gone to, culinary school, and I used to be a cook, so, one of the things we did in school was we made our own sourdough starter, and I still have that sourdough starter from, oh man, it's gotta be 15 years old-ish, so I still have that one that I feed. And then I've created a few others that I like too, so.
Nice.
I do have that. I don't know. You, though, is it the same thing? Your kombucha?
Is that
kind of like brewing? Because you've made yours, right?
Yeah, I did. So while other people were doing sourdough, I decided to start brewing my own kombucha over COVID. And I did that for quite a while. I haven't done it in maybe 2 years. But yeah, I was doing that for quite a while, and it is a process. I've never made my own beer, so I don't know the similarities or the differences. The kombucha process is honestly like a lot of waiting. Like the first step is you get a bottle of kombucha, preferably like, I think they call it Pure is the GT brand, but basically unflavored kombucha, and it will have an unflavored kombucha will have trace amounts of a SCOBY in it, which is I think it's a small colony of bacteria and yeast is what SCOBY stands for. And so you pour it into like a giant, you know, one of those giant jars of iced tea, essentially, or not iced tea, but brewed tea, that you got that came down to room temperature. And you kind of just pour the bottle of kombucha in there, cover the top with cheesecloth so that it can breathe, and just put it in a dark cabinet for 5 weeks. And when you pull it out, you've got a SCOBY, and then now you just put that SCOBY into another jar of tea, let it sit for about a week and a half or so. Now you have the first brew of kombucha. You know, you put it in bottles. Then you put like whatever flavoring you want in there, you know, fruit, whatever, juice and stuff like that. Let it brew for, I think, another 3 or 4 days, and you have yourself a bottle of kombucha. The first batch I made a lot of mistakes, which is inevitable. But what happens is, like, in the carbonation phase, like, it really builds up in the bottle. So I'll open the bottle after the thing and just geyser comes out of it. Like, I still have a stained, in my place, I still have a stained, shade on my kitchen window that I can't clean because it's like, the where it's located, it's like behind the sink, and for me to get to it, I'd have to like balance and everything, and I'm like, it's not worth breaking my neck over. So yeah.
Is that normal? Is like the geyser normal? I've seen people make things and like the geyser happens. I mean, mostly on TikTok, but like, is that a like, that's a bound to happen step, or is it kind of like you learn around it eventually?
It's a newbie mistake. First you shouldn't fill the bottle to the top. Give it some breathing room, so to speak, and then you're supposed to, as they call it, burp it, which is like kind of gradually open and try to let the stuff out gradually. One tactic somebody told me is actually before you open it between the first and second step, put it in the fridge for like a day, and then that will settle the carbonation a little bit. So I started doing that, and that made it a little better. But yeah, the first few I made, though, I did not know that, made that mistake. I even had a stain on my ceiling for a while, but I was able to eventually get to it and clean it. But like, yeah, because it just blew up. But yeah, so welcome to our podcast all about kombucha brewing.
Yeah, I don't know. It always makes me nervous trying to. I do want a home brew because I like beer. I'm not as much of a beer aficionado as I would say you are. I think you're more of a beer drinker than I am. I love a good cocktail. I'm a very cocktail guy.
Yeah.
I do want to make my own moonshine. That's kind of one on my bucket list to make my own moonshine. But I hear that's also a process in its own sense.
Yeah. I had a coworker at a previous job years ago that I think made his own moonshine once, and it was it would knock you over. It was very powerful. Mark, who's been on this podcast, I think twice already, he brews his own beer, and I've had a few of them. They're not bad.
I'll have to maybe when I come visit, hopefully soon. He'll have some beer ready. Has he been brewing recently?
I'd have to ask. I don't know. I think the last time I visited him was, which was last year. He hadn't brewed anything in a while, so I don't know. But yeah, I could ask him and see, like, hey, do you have you brewed anything lately?
Okay, if you were to make your own beer, like, do you have like what kind of beer you would make?
I'm a fan of dark beer, so it would be a dark beer. It'd either be like a stout or a porter, for sure. Probably like an oatmeal
Oh wow,
stout.
porter. Oh, mine is definitely gonna be an ale. I know that people are always like, if you can see through the beer, it's not like strong enough. I don't know. Have you ever heard that saying?
No, I have not, but I could see how somebody would come up with that.
Where they're like the most just like the best beer is the beer you can't see through.
I mean, that sounds like something I would say because I am a fan of dark beer, so, but I've never heard that one.
Okay, last thing for me at least. Okay, and this kind of relates to our episode, but like, if you were to name your beer, what would you name your beer?
Assuming I am making an oatmeal stout or a chocolate stout, I'd probably call it like Dark Road or something crazy like that. I'm not creative on the spot.
Sorry, I know. I was just like, I was thinking about. Because I was thinking about the episode and then the namings of the beers. I was like, what?
Or the Edge
I
of
think
Darkness.
the Edge of Darkness. Oh, okay. Whoa. That's a. I just imagine goth kids drinking that beer outside. Man. Okay, mine would probably be. I don't know. Well, now, see, I gotta have a cool answer if I ask the question, right? Because it's gonna be an ale. I don't know. I'd probably call it like Sunset Meadow or something like that. Because I like citrusy stuff. So it'd probably be like Sunset Fields.
Yeah, you'd get along with Bobby then, because apparently he likes fruity beer. I don't mind fruity beer. I don't seek it out though.
Beer is one of those things where it's like wine almost. I compare beer and wine like you really have to have that like a good taste for things to pick up like the hints of stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
It's fair.
because someone will give me a beer and they'll be like, "Oh, this beer is reminiscent of a key lime pie," and I'll taste it and I'll be like, "I don't really taste the key lime pie," because you know the hops, the hoppiness of a beer always like is a forefront for me at least.
I'm not a big fan. Like, that's one thing I hate about. One more note on beer. Like, one thing that I kind of hate about living on the West Coast is that, like, IPAs and pale ales in general are like the king here. Like, you walk into any bar and 85% of the menu is like IPAs. 85% of the beer menu is IPAs and 15% of it is like other.
I mean, as an IPA drinker, I can't complain. I love my choices. But I think that's just reflective of like people who are buying the beers.
Yeah, maybe, because I'm just like, I'm not an IPA fan, so I'm like, if I go to a bar, maybe the darkest beer they have is a Guinness, and I'm like, all right, I guess I'll have a Guinness, so. All right, well, ready to jump into the episode all about beer?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So this is the second episode of season 14, The Beer Story, and I think it's interesting because now that Bobby is 21, he's of age and he can engage in beer drinking with his dad, which is obviously a big thing his dad likes. But the big theme here, I think, is the generational gap. Hank is old school with his beer, whereas Bobby is kind of new school. But you'll get into it, or you'll hear about more about it in the episode. So we start with the episode, and Hank wakes up early, like early, early. I got a glimpse of the clock, and he's waking up at 5 a.m. And Peggy's like, you don't have to wake up at the crack of dawn. You're retired. And he's just like, I can't just go through my whole day doing nothing like some kind of nepo baby. Which I kind of had a problem with that statement because it just didn't sound like something Hank would say. But, whatever. He goes into the garage and just kind of sits there with his tape measure and just starts like measuring his cup and playing with it and whatnot. And he's just bored. We see him go to the living room and he's watching the Monsignor Martinez show. But apparently it is a reboot and it's actually Monsignor Martinez's son after his father was murdered. And we get one of our good Peggy Hill moments here where he's saying something. And Peggy's like, oh, he is saying next time he is going to kill their whole family. And then it pans over to the TV and Hank's like, the show is subtitled and he's wishing the orphans a Merry Christmas. And we clearly see on the show like there's a Christmas tree and a Santa and some orphans and stuff. And then Peggy's like, well, that's embarrassing. The subtitles are wrong.
I love Peggy so much, and this is, I'm so glad that we're going back, like we're falling back into classic Peggy. And I would like to strive to live my life with the confidence that Peggy Hill has of her Spanish.
Yeah.
Like the confidence to be like, oh, the subtitles are wrong. It's just, oh, it's great, Peggy Hill.
It's not even the subtitles, like context clues of the show is it's
Oh yeah,
clearly Christmas.
he's in a Christmas, or not Christmas. He's in like a Santa sleigh with like the Santa hat on, and kids are holding gifts.
Yeah, and I clearly heard Feliz Navidad when they're speaking Spanish, which is Merry Christmas in Spanish. So it's like
Well, are you sure? Is it not Avenged Family?
exactly. So, Hank talks about how much he wishes he was back at work because it gave him something to do, and now he has nothing to do, and he has so much time to fill. So Peggy gives him a shopping list to go to Megalomart, kill some time or whatever. And Peggy's like, I gotta go to my Pilates class to teach my Pilates teacher how to run a class, which again, classic Peggy. Also weird that she's doing Pilates, but I guess, maybe she became more cultured, so to speak, in during her time in Saudi Arabia. So he gets to Megalomart, and it's kind of a running theme that we've seen throughout the series where the employees of Megalomart are largely useless. And he's like, "Hey, do you have any bath mats?" And the employee is like, "Oh, I don't know. Do we have bath mats?" And asks the other employee, and he's like, "Oh, let me check." So he pulls out his phone to go to the company's website, the Megalomart website, to search. And he's like, "Well, we got bathroom mats." And Hank's like, "Oh, I hate this place."
Okay, I hate this. Like, this triggered me as well. Like, so sometimes I'll be in Walmart and I can't find something, and I'll ask an employee, like, do you have this item? And then they're like, oh, do you have the Walmart app? And then I'm like, I need the Walmart app, like, because I'm like, should. Not that they need to be super familiar with the store, but like, you walked around your store, right? Do you kind of have an idea of where this item is? And I just thought that triggered me. Like, that was like, oh, I feel this moment. I feel Hank going through this moment right now.
Similar to your story, I saw somebody post on Reddit not too long ago a picture that they took at Kohl's, and it was like, a little sign that they put on the display with, where the clothes are and whatnot. And it's like, "Do you want to see the price?" And then it gives you like steps, like download the Kohl's app or connect to the Wi-Fi, download the Kohl's app, sign in, and then scan the QR code, and we'll show you the price. And I'm like, "Yeah, that seems unnecessary. Why not just have a price tag on the clothes like you've been doing for decades?"
Okay, at this point in my life, sometimes I'm like, these things make me question, like, am I just old? Is this the future? Like, is this kind of how life is now? Am I just like, did I miss the memo? Did it skip me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is the generation changing?
I definitely have my old man yells at clouds moment with when I run into things like this, so I could see having that same feeling. Hank's there, and while he's wandering around, he sees the setup for all the home brew equipment, and he goes there, and it's funny because the employee kind of follows him, and it's like, "Oh, sir, that's not bath mats and whatnot." And Hank's like, "Oh, home brewing," and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's complicated. It takes like a propane tank heater, and there's so many steps. I haven't read through all of them." And Hank's just not even paying attention, and he's like, "Oh, I think I could do this." He's like, "No, bath mats, that's way easier." But anyway, Hank goes ahead and buys it because, he's happy, and he goes home and he tries to tell Peggy about it, and he starts telling like this long story, and then Peggy's like, just cut to the chase. He's like, "I bought home brewing kit. It combines my two biggest loves, propane and beer." And then she's like, "Oh, but I'm your first love, right?" And then Hank kind of pauses and he's like, "Yes." Then we kind of cut to Joseph and Bobby driving, and I guess they're bringing laundry over, or at least Bobby is. Joseph apparently works like with a road crew, and he mentions that like he did a bunch of work at Dealey Plaza, and he's bringing in some of the grass back so that Dale can look through it for Oliver Stone's remains. So, conspiracy theory stuff. They're driving back, and Bobby is like, "Have I told you that I saw Connie?" And he's like, "Yes, all the time." And Bobby's like, "Not all the time." They get home. Bobby brings the laundry home, and Peggy's like, "Oh, is your washing machine broken? Well, I'm gonna make your favorite quesadillas," which again, her Spanish. Hank comes in, and he talks about how he has this device, and he's starting to home brew, and Bobby and Hank start to talk beer, and things start to get a little tense because Bobby talks about how, oh, it's more than just about getting the carbonation right. Like, he had to for his restaurant, they have 12 different beers, but he tasted 20 of them to get down to the 12. And, there's all these things that people care about in terms of flavor, boldness, whatnot. And Hank's, just simple guy. And he's like, "No, I just care about beer flavored beer." And it starts to escalate and whatnot. And Peggy just takes the opportunity to say, "Hey, you two should, work together." And make a beer together and stuff. And they're like, you know, you can name it Peggy Ale or Margaret's Mash or Teacher of the Beer. You know, it's funny because you're like, just you can name it after your favorite woman, and neither of them agree to do it, which is kind of funny.
Okay, did you notice that Joseph's voice is different?
Yes, that was one thing that stood out to me. Joseph's voice is slightly different. It actually sounds a little bit like John Redcorn.
It does. But did you also notice Bobby's voice is different now too?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, it's slightly lower.
Which is what it should be.
So I was like, it. Because I noticed Joseph's voice change, and then when Bobby was talking to Hank, I was like, oh, his voice is slightly lower now.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. They definitely. There's probably been some time in between the episodes.
Yeah, because now
Not
he
like
said.
in the King of the Hill world, but like. Yeah.
Yeah, like it sounds like now they've got the voice down. Because I'm like, he's not a 13-year-old boy anymore. He's a 21-year-old man. Make him sound like a 21-year-old man. And now he sounds a bit more adult in
Yeah.
this
Yeah.
episode. They start brewing beer together, and Hank essentially is saying he's making beer-flavored beer because, you know, Bobby's talking about, oh, you need to put, like, you know, people like fruity flavor. And he's like, I've never, in my 40 years of drinking beer, I've never thought it needed fruit. And he's like, oh, this tastes just like Alamo. Or Hank is saying, you know, this tastes just like Alamo. And Bobby takes a sip and he's like, oh, this is nothing. Or this is essentially saying it's boring. It's like, it's the blue car of beers. It is the accountant of beers. And obviously it's an in-universe beer. I've never had Alamo because it doesn't, well, now it does. Like, we're the King of the Hill version does. Before, I always kind of assumed that Alamo is probably akin to Lone Star in the King of the Hill universe, and I've had Lone Star. Lone Star is not good. It's like we always used to call it river beer. Like, it was beer that was cheap, that you could throw into a cooler, and you could go tubing on the Guadalupe River, with the cooler in one of the inner tubes and drink beer all day. So like that was what Lone Star was for, but it wasn't for actually enjoying beer.
Yeah, I always considered Alamo to be like a Bud Light equivalent. Just like a cheap party, not party beer, but like a cheap beer that you kind of just always have in your fridge.
Yeah, like I never assumed that it was a bold beer of any kind. I always assumed that it was just kind of a very basic, you know, unimpressive beer, if you will. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's always been my impression anyway. I think this is kind of going into that whole generational thing. Because if I look at, like, my grandparents, for example, and granted, Hank's not the age of my grandparents, but if I look at like my grandparents, they really, even my uncles for that matter, now that I think about it, they're really more into the very basic kind of beers and whatnot. They're in Wisconsin, so they like Leinenkugels and Old Milwaukee. There's always Old Milwaukee in the fridge. And Old Milwaukee to me is a very, like, when I've drank it, it is a very basic beer. But to them, that's good. But then you look at people like our age and younger. And you know they're going to all the micro brews and whatnot and getting like the specialty beer of the week that tastes like, you know, oh, this one tastes like sour cherry and this one tastes like that. You know, that's our generation. So I think we're seeing like that generational divide here.
Oh, for sure. I think I just like thinking about drinking beer with my dad, and like I would bring over my favorite beer is Revolver, Blood and Honey, and I would bring that over, and he only drinks Corona, basically, and just the difference between like these two beers, he'll be like, oh wow, this is like strong and like too much going on in it. You know, beer, I feel like for our parents' generation, beer is like just water. It's like a diluted thing for them.
Yeah, like you'd have to drink like 10 of them to get a moderate buzz going. It's pretty much water. But they took the beer to the alley because Hank's like, oh, we'll just take it to some experts. And this is kind of where the generational gap starts to be seen, you know, gets seen a little bit more, because they take the beer to the alley and all the old guys like it, you know, Brian and Bill and Boomhauer and Dale and Hank, they all love it. But then Joseph and Bobby taste it and they're like, what is this? And I kind of like that they're like, oh, I'd rather drink, you know, possum urine over this. And then Dale leans over and is like, trust me, I've had both. This is way better. So they talk about how there's this homebrewing contest in Dallas and how Hank should enter his beer into it. And then Bill's like, oh, I went to a contest like that once. I thought it was a drinking contest. I had 47 beers before they forced me to leave. I would have won, too. Bobby and Hank are discussing the beer, and Bobby essentially says he doesn't want to be a part of it because he describes the beer as good alley beer, which I think is fair. Like, just sitting and drinking with your friends in the alley, it's probably a fine beer, but if you're actually, like, trying to get a buzz on, it's not great. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, this is a good alley beer, but other than that, it's not that, you know, great. And Dallas has, you know, experienced brewers with beers that tell stories, and, you know, it's a very, very fancy place. And, I, you know, I'm trying to break into the restaurant business. I can't afford to be seen, you know, promoting this bad beer and stuff. So, you know, that kind of creates tension between the two of them. And so Hank's like, okay, well, if you think you're so good, go ahead and enter on your own. And, you know, you enter your own beer. And Bobby's like, fine, I will. And then, of course, Peggy is like, oh, well, the odds of Peggy Ale winning has doubled. But yeah, this is like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Sun, like a combination of the Sun Also Roses, only kind of in reverse, where in the Sun Also Roses, Bobby got into the rose growing, and then Hank, like, kind of took over and brought it into a competition, and now this is kind of reverse, where Hank got into beer brewing, and now Bobby is, like, you know, kind of getting into it. But also the Dances with Dogs one, where they both, like, enter the dog dancing contest. So it kind of, it feels like a callback to those episodes.
It does, but it feels like what I wanted from those episodes, which was Hank to enjoy this, the activity more, and not be so wound up in the competition. Yes, he's competing with Bobby, but we always see Hank get, like, too competitive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Bobby,
so I enjoyed that.
And Bobby is, like, equally competitive, too, so it really brings up the tension. All the guys are in the alley, and it's kind of funny, because Peggy comes out there, and Dale's like, what's Peggy doing in the alley? But Peggy is like, oh, well, I have nowhere to go, because I'm retired, and retired Peggy does what she wants. They all want Hank to win, and Hank is super confident that he will. Bill likes that Peggy is in the alley, but Hank wants him to be neutral towards it. Boomhauer's, I guess, I'll just call him stepson, even though I think he's only, like, dating the woman, not actually married to her. But, you know, Luke, the, I believe is his name, is the stepson, and Boomhauer wants the kid to experience his first sip of beer, and Boomhauer talks about how, like, he had his first sip of beer when he was 7, and but his mom won't let him do it, which, okay, makes sense. The kid looks like he's maybe a tween, so maybe he shouldn't be drinking. Funny enough, Min shows up, and she's like, are you hillbillies talking about beer? They're like, yep. And then she's like, that was supposed to be a joke. But they come up with a plan, like, hey, we know how you could do the rite of passage without, like, giving him actual beer. Just give him some non-alcoholic beer. And then Dale's like, who votes that we should have Peggy stay inside with the shutters closed? And it's funny because if you pay attention, Dale raises his hand, but also Min does. Yeah. They're the only two who raised their hand. But yeah, that was funny. That whole interaction was funny.
Oh, man. Wait. Okay. Is this the part where, like, so, like, I can't remember. It's in my notes, but, like, where Peggy's, they're talking about who's going to win the competition. She's like, Bobby could win too, or something like that. And they start booing her.
Yeah.
And then they're like, Hank's like, don't boo. No need to boo Peggy. I love that. Like, I also just love that Peggy is just has her bottled water with them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she has a bottle of water while everybody else is drinking beer. It's funny because the guys are kind of supporting Hank, which is nice, but they also want him to beat Bobby because, like, oh, we're the older generation, we need to do this, and that's going to be something that comes up a lot in the episode. We go to Robotta Chain, and this is the first we see Chain in the new season. He shows up and he's like, "Hey, I heard about you entering the beer contest," talking to Bobby, and Bobby's like, "Yeah," and he's like, "I think it's dumb, but my dad likes it. He wants you to win so that we can market the beer." So they buy him like a professional-ish, I guess, brewing kit. Like, I saw the little I guess invoice or whatever, and they spent like I think at least 7K getting him all of the equipment. But yeah, they want apparently Ted wants them to make a beer that they could sell.
Yeah, because it's like a legit, like they set up a whole like room and there's like the fancy stuff that you see. Like it feels very professional. Like they're just gonna start their own brewery, factory of beer.
Yeah, no, they actually got like legit, like a small setup. Like, they're not going to be able to actually brew a ton of it, but a decent setup to where they could probably brew some just for the restaurant and sell it. But yeah, they brought him a legit kit and they want to name it Wasana Song Ale, which Bobby's not on board with. But and this kind of touches upon what we said in the previous episode, or what we had theorized in the previous episode. I think Ted is like the majority partner and of the and is essentially bankrolling the restaurant, and so he is kind of waving his weight around.
Oh yeah, this definitely feels like a this is a Nepo baby situation. I feel like it's like, hey, I'm gonna like fund this for you, but you're gonna run it and you're gonna like prove that you can do like you can run a business, and then we'll
Yeah.
see like how.
But then it's funny because in the episode, at least episodes we've seen so far, it doesn't look like Chain's actually running it. It looks like Bobby's actually running it. So we see in the alley they give Luke near beer. Dale in his Dale way is like, "Oh, that stuff has napalm in it, like Doritos do." And then Bill just starts drinking all of them, and he's like, "Oh, I can't tell the difference." And he indulges and actually drinks like two cans at once. So at first he's drinking like a can of Alamo and a can of near beer at the same time, and then he just grabs two cans of near beer and drinks them together. And Boomhauer's not happy because, like, hey, this is supposed to be for the kid. And then Bill proceeds to like crush the can on his head, and so the kid tries to do the same thing too. But one, there's like still beer in the can, and he smashes and
Yeah.
he just knocks himself out. And then like the beer falls out of the can and everything. It was funny.
Oh,
So
have you ever done that?
I've never crushed a beer can on my head, no.
Have you ever? I've tried. It hurts.
I'd imagine.
You need a strong head, guys, if you want. Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to like weaken the edges, like crunch it a little bit inward so that it caves when you push it against your head? I feel like that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah, they don't tell you that when you see it in the movies. I kind of just went like straight forehead with it.
Yeah.
And I barely even like crumpled it. I was that kid.
Yeah. It's the same thing with like when you see people break bottles over people's head. It's like a lot of those bottles are pretty thick. You're gonna break somebody's head probably before you actually break the glass.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't even imagine getting hit on the head with a beer bottle. Those are thick.
Yeah, they're gonna do some real damage. It's not gonna just simply break and you're gonna be like, what was that all about? Like they do in the TV shows and movies. We go back to the garage, Hank's brewing, we see him pouring hops, and Peggy comes up and, says, "Bobby may have a point, 'cause look at the score sheet." And like one of the things that they rank on, or they rate for the contest is, does the beer tell a story? So Hank's like, "What? I'm not going, this is a brewing contest, not the love connection with Chuck Woolery." And Peggy's like, That show's not even on TV anymore. And Hank's like, good. So they decide to go research at a brewery, and they go to this place called like the Wild Armadillo Brewery. And if you've been to like a modern brewery in any city, really, it looked just like that. There were random ping pong tables everywhere. There was like an area where you could buy merch like t-shirts and mugs and stuff. And as Peggy pointed out, the chairs were actually beer kegs with like little wood seats on them and stuff. And yeah, the guy at the bar was the stereotypical hipster with the beard and the, mustache and all the stuff. So, I've been to my share of microbreweries and stuff like that in cities. That and craft brew places, I guess it's one of the same, but yeah, that is pretty typical.
Oh yeah, I do think though. Okay, well, let me. Are you gonna? I'll let you finish the scene, and then I have something to say about it.
I guess they go to try what's it called, a flight of beer, which was kind of funny. So because the guy comes up, it's like, oh, will you like a flight of beer? And Peggy's like, yes, and Hank's like, no, and they bring it out, and Hank's drinking them, and he doesn't like any of them because they're too, fancy or whatever. And so he actually asks the bartender, like, hey, do you have any beer that tastes like beer? It isn't trying too hard. And the bartender pauses for a minute, looks at the menu, and then he's like, no.
Okay, this is where I have, like, they definitely would have had a beer that tasted like nothing. Any place I go to always has that one beer where they're like, yeah, we have that on tap. No one orders it, but we have it
Yeah,
there.
they have a very plain beer. Remember that one that we tried out last year when I came and visited Austin, where we did trivia? That was like one of those places. And the beer they had out there was actually pretty decent. I forget the
Oh
name of the
yeah, that
place, but
place,
we did
yeah.
trivia there, yeah.
But they didn't have flights, I don't think. Or did they? We didn't get one.
Yeah, we definitely didn't order a flight, but they might have had flight.
Okay, flights are my new like favorite. I want flights of everything. Like, I love a beer flight because it doesn't let me like I don't have to commit to one beer. I can try four different ones. And I want just flights of like I want flights of French fries, I want flights of burgers, I want flights of ev give me everything in a flight version, minis and a few of them. Then I don't have to make choices.
The pancake chain called Snooze. It's based out of Denver, but there's two locations in Austin, and there's like in other places too. They actually have a pancake flight where you can get like three separate pancakes. I always opt for that because they have some awesome pancakes. So it's like, yeah, I want three. They're like slightly smaller than the regular stack, but you get three of them of the different flavors.
Snooze. I have to write that down. I'm gonna write
Yeah,
that down.
it's.
I
There's
love them.
one in, there's two in Austin, so you should check it out, but there's always a line, and I don't think it's one of those places where you can like no actually, yeah, you can put your
Reserve.
state what I've always done, you can't reserve, but you can put your name on a list and it's like an hour long list. But like if you go to the one on South Lamar or whatever, what I usually would do is like walk over to OPA and get some coffee and then like walk back over when it's time for when it's time for me to eat, so that's always an option.
Okay. Definitely have that. Maybe I'll get that this Saturday.
We go back to the alley, and it's funny because Luke and his friends are kind of standing in the alley doing, drinking near beer and going, yep, and Peggy sees that and it takes her aback. She's concerned and she goes up to Boomhauer, who's changing his oil, and it's like, hey, I see all the kids, drinking near beer, and Boomhauer's not concerned. He's just like, oh, it's just a phase, whatever, they'll grow out of it. And Peggy's concerned about them having a fake drinking problem. That was funny. So then we cut to the scene where it's like, the way we're gonna do it is we're gonna focus on the robotic chain, then we're gonna focus on the garage, because of these two scenes kind of interchange between like Bobby trying the beer with Joseph and Chain and Chain's frat friends, and then it intercuts with like the garage and Hank Hank trying beer with his friends. So we'll focus on Chain first, and then we'll go Robotic Chain, then we'll focus on the garage. So Robotic Chain, it's funny because Joseph drinks the beer first, and he likes it. He describes the flavor as complexual. Joseph's like, I don't even know if that's a word. And then Bobby's like, oh, I mean, it's a perfect word to describe your experience with girls. Joseph and Bobby are just like, as long as it beats our dads, we're happy. And then Chain is like, yeah. And then one of Chain's friends, who's frat bro, alcoholic in the making, is like, I could see myself drinking 4 or 5 of these, but I'm not drinking 10 of them. Like, that's what you need your beer to be, like the kind that you can drink 10 of. And Bobby is like, oh, okay. And you know, there, and then one of the guys like, yeah, this is beer that you need to be able to feel in your nutsack. And I like how Bobby takes the note and he's like, feel nutsack. And then Joseph's like, yeah, don't worry, Bobby, you brew the beer, I'll take care of the rest. And he gives like a knowing wink, which is like, okay, what is he gonna do? Then we start seeing the garage, and Hank is showing the beer to his friends. Hank describes the beer as tasting fine, and the guys are like, fine? You want the beer to taste fine? Fine is not going to win you a contest. I'm going to put that on your tombstone. Here lies fine. And so, you know, Hank's taken aback because he's like, you guys liked the beer yesterday. I didn't do anything different. And he's like, you know, you got, if you're going to win this contest, you have to do better than fine. And then Dale brings up that Joseph has been bragging to Bobby that they got a bunch of fancy new brewing equipment, which now kind of sort of concerns Hank. And depressing comment made next is like, Dale is like, it needs that old gun flavor. Ask Bill about that. He's the only one who's ever put a gun in his mouth. And then Bill's like, no. It didn't taste good.
Oh, no.
Which I shouldn't be laughing because that's super dark. But at the same time, it's just like perfect.
Is this pre Hank leaving or after Hank left? That the situation of Bill happened, you think?
I don't know, because there have been episodes where Bill tries to end his life, but it could also be where they left. So I don't know. Either is a valid possibility.
But, oh man. Oh, poor Bill. Bill's never going to catch a break. I just feel like Bill's never going to catch a break. The one time he did with Khan's mom, I felt like that was his only hope.
Maybe you'll get lucky in the new seasons. Let's hope so, anyway. We go through the brew montage. You know, it's standard kind of TV show montage. And, you know, they're both trying to brew their beer. And Bobby is concerned about the fruitiness of his beer. And, you know, Hank has notes about, like, how do I improve perfection? Which kind of shows where his mindset is on his beer. They're both reading and trying harder. And we see the taste test in the garage, and then the guys are like, yep, yep. And then Bill just describes it as fine, and now Hank is upset. It's like, dang it, I tried so hard. And Dale's like, I can make this problem go away. I can destroy, you know. It sounds like he's offering to kill somebody, and then Hank's like, are you trying to say you're going to kill Bobby? And he's like, no, I was saying that something could happen to his brewing equipment. Although, if you want me to kill Bobby, and then Hank's like, no, leave Bobby alone. And then he's like, okay, fine, but the judges aren't off limits. We cut to the whole house. So it's a nice house, and it's we see Dale pulling up, and he's looking through his binoculars. We see that Dale sees Joseph in the trash bin, like poking his head out, looking out through binoculars. And so, you know, they both smoke a cigarette out by the bushes, and it turns out they both know that one of the judges lives in this house, and they were going to try to find some compromising information to blackmail them. And he's already, you know, Joseph's already gone through the trash can, and you know, Dale's kind of proud that Joseph is taken in after it, but he's also like, I will outfox you, and the teacher will outfox you and stuff. All of a sudden the guy comes out, and they both run away. It's funny because, like, Joseph does this quick, like, jump into the garbage bag to act like he's trash. And then Dale drives away. But you could clearly see, like, the Dale's dead bug over the hedges. But then as Dale's driving away, he's like, they'll never know it was me. So that was kind of funny. I like how they're just like the same person, essentially, Joseph and Dale.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love that. You could tell Joseph grew up in this household. Like, he's taking on his mannerisms. He's kind of got the same ideas that Dale has, and it's really good because sometimes you're just like, you know what? Though, never mind. Not sometimes you're just like, sorry. It's just you. I always knew that Dale was like a good father to Joseph. Dale's always been a great father to Joseph. Even in the episode, like, he's always taking care of him. As misguided as Dale is at times, he's always put everything in for Joseph.
Agreed, 100%. Like as crazy as Dale is, he is always there for Joseph and trying to be a good father. Bobby comes home, he has more laundry, and now even more kind of gloating and tension happens between Hank and Bobby. And Bobby's like, "Oh, I'm busy because I have a full-time job. I'm not retired like some people." And Hank kind of mentions how he misses having his job. And I like how Peggy's like, "I've never been to a brewing contest," and like in sync, Bobby and Hank respond, "None of us have." And Peggy's like, "Oh, I know. I just wanted to say, but I can't wait to see which Peggy Ale will win." And then Hank's like, "Actually, I'm gonna call my beer Alley Guy's beer." And then Peggy's like, "What are you gonna call your beer, Bobby?" And then Bobby's like, "I gotta go to the bathroom." And then Hank's like, "Wait, you're going to the bathroom a lot?" He's like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "Hey, the garage door is locked, so you can't go and check on my beer." And he's like, "Why would I want to do that? I mean, it's not like I'm going to pee in the garage, then nobody's going to be able to tell the difference between your nobody will be able to tell the difference between the pee and the beer." And so Hank's like, "You know what? I'm off to get a good night's sleep because when I win tomorrow, I'm going to party all night long drinking my beer." And so they decide to toast to the winner with plastic cups in the orange juice. And they get so upset that they both crush their glasses. And it's funny because they're like, because Peggy's there and they're like, "We'll clean it up. Yeah, sorry, Mom." So yeah, tension is building. I don't know. I like their interactions because they're just so competitive with each other. And it's like it's a friendly beer contest, but they're just so competitive. I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, I it just it feels like there's this like my way is better than your way, or it's kind I feel like it also like boils down to kind of like like in the end of the last episode where like Hank was like, oh, where Bobby offers to cook and Hank's like, oh, you're a comedian, a professional comedian. It's kind of just like, oh, I know how things should be done,
Yeah.
and like you're kind of like living in a different world than I am, but like, this is how people really like it. This is like the traditional way.
Yeah, and I think this is, I mean, to be honest, this is kind of how Hank has always been through the show, where he thinks he knows what's best. And honestly, a big part of his character, like through all 13 seasons, now 14 seasons, has been him kind of coming around and like learning and evolving. Granted, there have been a few times where they kind of lean into the fact that Hank was right, but generally speaking, it's about him kind of evolving and learning more. So, he's definitely in this mode of, "I know better. I've been drinking beer for a long time. I've been drinking beer with my friends for a long time. We just like simple beer. That's what people like. You want this fancy, stuff that nobody actually likes. That's just a trend." And but that's it's just interesting to see that. And also, as I mentioned, now Bobby is beer drinking age, so he, they can connect on that and relate to that, but they're also showing their kind of differences and opinions. And Bobby's definitely more confident as an adult than he was as a kid. I mean, he's always been a little confident, but he's more confident to stand up against Hank on stuff.
Yeah, Bobby definitely understands who he is. I don't think Bobby is like trying to figure out. I think that's another cool thing about Bobby right now. I don't know if this is going to change in more of the season, but it really feels like Bobby understands who Bobby is at 21. Like, he's like, this is who I am. This is the career I do. These are the things I like. This is kind of the philosophy I live by. It doesn't really seem like anything kind of upsets him or like kind of gets to him. Though he did talk about Connie a lot to Joseph. So maybe there's something there, but it just feels like like you were saying, Bobby's very confident in who Bobby is.
Very true. So we get to the competition. So this is like the last few scenes of the show. It's funny because we see Luke with Nearbeer and he walks up to like some of the brewers and he's like, "Hey, I like beer too." And Boomhauer overhears it, and so Boomhauer pulls him aside. It's like, "Yeah, I gotta cut you off here. Like this is a bad influence for you." And it's kind of a nice little moment because Luke is like, "Oh, I just wanted to be cool like you." So, I guess it's nice because it's showing that this kid kind of sees Boomhauer as a little bit of a father figure. So that was nice. So we see Bobby and Hank kind of face off. They're actually, their booths or their tables or whatever term you want to use are like right next to each other, which is an interesting choice. Hank puts his beer in a chest and puts an American flag there, which is a very Hank thing to do. And then Bobby is like, he's cutting the foam off of the top of the beer and stuff. Like he's a professional chef. He's all about presentation. Then he puts a little orange slice on the rim and everything as garnish. Chain and Joseph and Chain's friends are there and they're kind of making fun of Hank and, "Oh, your beer looks weak," and "Get back to your truck." And Hank is like, "You wish you owned a truck," and he's like, the kid's like, "No, I don't." And then Dale was like, "I won't accept the results of this contest." And Bill's like, "I'm gonna riot." It's just those two, they're being themselves. We learned that Dale apparently kidnapped one of the judge's dogs and then returned it, but then gave Hank credit for like finding the dog to try to bribe the judge into voting for Hank. And then we learned that Joseph blackmailed another judge by learning that that judge was having an affair with another judge. And it was funny because Joseph, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek meta moment because Joseph was like, "You'd be surprised how sloppy some people are at covering their affairs. Oh, look, there's John Redcorn and my mom." And then we see John Redcorn, and then Nancy comes up. He's like, "Oh, sorry, we were a little late, and my hair looks messed up because I ran into a branch," which seems to be insinuating that they're hooking up again. So I guess we'll find out. Like, it seems like they're just hinting that right now, but maybe they really are hooking up again.
I mean, like we talked about earlier, I hope not. But I mean, like, Dale did push them together.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. Let's see. Let's hope that they're not, but you'll never know. Well, I guess we'll find out in the upcoming episodes if they are, if they aren't. So the police show up, and one of the judges like points in a general direction. So then Joseph and Dale assume that they're like, the judge ratted them out for, doing their blackmailing and whatever. And so they both run away, and it looks like the cops are following them. But it turns out like the Dallas County Police Department also entered the contest. So those two cops were just like going to meet up with the other cops. They had nothing to do with Dale or Joseph. So then the judge comes up to Hank and it's like, "So tell me the story of your beer." And Hank's like taken aback because he assumed that he was like, "Oh, the beer is supposed to tell the story." And then the judge is like, "Beer can't talk." And so Hank like comes up with a story on the spot, and it's like the very like generic, like, tradition, freshly cut lawn, America, Texas. That's what this beer represents. And the college kids start mocking him, and the judge is like incredibly unimpressed by that. And then so Hank like tells the real story where he's like, "I really started this as a hobby because it combines my two loves, propane and beer. And it should have been time that I spent with my son. And you know what? He knows a lot of stuff about things, and I'm just too proud to listen to him. I probably, this should have been a thing that we did together, so I'm gonna pull my beer out of the contest." And so the judge is like, "Okay, that makes my job easy." So they go up to Bobby, and then the judge is like, "Okay, and this is called Wasanasung Ale." And we get the first, although it's bleeped, we get the first F-bomb ever in King of the Hill, where Peggy is like, "Are you blanking kidding me?" So she's upset that it's not named Peggy Ale. Bobby like starts to tell the story. It's essentially the same story. He's like, "Oh, my story is the same as my dad's, and I too am pulling my beer out of the contest." And Peggy responds like, "I could have not written it better. Well, I could have, but I didn't have the time." So very, very Peggy response. Final scene, they're back at their house. They're trying their beers. The OG beers, like the original beers that they wanted to enter before their friends like pushed them to change the flavor. And so they gave it to each other. You know, Bobby drinks Hank's beer and thinks it's very boring. And then Hank drinks Bobby's beer and thinks it's too fruity. Peggy is clearly drunk at this point in a lawn chair, and she decides to mix both of the beers together. And she's like, "This is called Peggy's Ale." And the two just kind of give a look at each other and kind of a uncomfortable smile back at her. And the episode ends. I thought it was nice. I thought this was overall a nice episode, because it showed the competition, and I ultimately I liked how it ended with with Hank. Like, this is one of the few times Hank has actually acknowledged that Bobby is better than him at something, and that he should have listened to Bobby instead of like getting all uptight and whatnot, because Bobby understands like this whole master brewing thing better than Hank does. And then Bobby kind of agrees, like, "You know what, we should have worked together on this. This shouldn't have been a contest, so I'm gonna pull my beer."
Yeah, I really, this is kind of what I wanted from King of the Hill. Like, kind of this revival. It just feels like, it feels like kind of where we're kicking off from the last episode of season 13. You know, Bobby and Hank are getting along, and they're understanding that they are different, but they kind of want to be closer together. Like, this is the time that they need to be doing things together. It makes me sad, though, because I'm thinking, like, after that episode where, you know, Bobby gets the little grill, do they not grill together ever again? It just feels like we took a step back from that, and now we're catching, like, now we're together again.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, it definitely felt like, I mean, I would like to see them grill again. Obviously, like, that was the last episode originally. And so, you know, it was kind of implied that they would continue grilling, but we wouldn't see it because the series ended. Now it's come back. We're two episodes in. But it is nice to see that, like, they were competitive at first because they, you know, it was a generational thing. It was Hank who's, like, you know, very stuck in his ways. I've been drinking beer since way before you were born. I know beer better than you. I can make a better beer. And Bobby, you know, Bobby being Bobby. Bobby is, you know, he's a professional chef. He is a head chef at a restaurant that he owns, or at least partially owns. And, you know, he is like, you know, I understand this stuff. I'm in Dallas, which, you know, Dallas isn't like, you know, it isn't New York City. It is, or San Francisco or LA. It's not one of the big, you know, culinary cities, but it is a culinary city. And so, you know, he probably understands a lot of the stuff better. But, you know, in a lot of ways, I feel like Bobby was trying to help Hank at the beginning, but Hank was just too stubborn, which kind of pushed Bobby away. But then they kind of come together at the end.
Yeah, I just think now that we're done with the whole episode, it just feels like definitely like it's that thing where Hank, this is the beer Hank grew up on, or this is the beer that he loves. And it's kind of like that thing where, like, someone's like, "Well, that beer that you actually, or that thing that you really love, like, people don't like it anymore. They like, this new version of it." And I can understand where Hank's coming from, where he's like, "Well, you know, this is what I love. This is what I grew up with. This is kind of my memories. So, of course, I'm going to defend it." And then, like, you know, Bobby has a different taste. I do really believe that they would have never come to an agreement on one beer to make for this competition. They have two totally different styles.
100% they would have never agreed, because Hank, like I said, Hank's like my uncles or my grandpa or whatnot, who's, you know, old school and is fine with a very watery, bland beer. And, you know, teach their own. Everybody likes their own thing. But, you know, whereas Bobby wants the more robust, you know, fancy beer, if you will, and they're just two very different people, and I don't think they will ever, maybe at some point they might find a beer that both of them like, but I think in general they're never going to find a beer that they agree on.
Yeah, it might have been a better idea if like they made a beer more catered towards Hank's likes. Like, what is Hank like? You know, I mean, like besides just like a watery beer, but kind of what flavors he likes. He likes smoke, right? Like, 'cause he's like grilling all the time. Well, no, 'cause he grills.
Yeah, remember propane doesn't have a flavor or whatever.
Yeah, that's just true. I mean, there's like gotta be flavors that Hank likes that we could incorporate into beer, you know? And then Bobby can like show him. There's totally. I think at the end of this episode, they came to understanding like we need to figure. Not that we need to figure out. It's tough because at the end, they really didn't like each other's beer, but they knew that they wanted to spend time together. So that's what's important, right?
And I think that's what it is. It's like they are coming to an understanding that they both like beer, they just like different kinds of beer, and they've just come to that mutual understanding that, you know what, that's perfectly fine.
And Peggy likes all the beer.
I mean, it's not like they're going to go to a restaurant that only serves one beer, so they, or a bar or something, so they could still
Yeah.
hang out, and Hank can have his Alamo and Bobby can have whatever craft brew he wants, and there you go. I've never been to a bar that only has one beer. I've been to like a brewery that only serves beer that their brewery makes, but then they also have a variety of flavors, so or a variety of types. But
Yeah.
I've never been to a bar that just has like a beer.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, like they'll be able to drink. And I mean, like, it's not like Bobby spit out Alamo beer. You know what I mean? He just was like, this isn't.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling towards like if you were to give me a Bud Light or whatever. Like, if there was nothing else and you gave me a Bud Light, I'd probably drink it. I just wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm definitely gonna use that term now from now on, like alley beer. Like, yeah. Sometimes when you're at a party, you just like they have alley beer. It's just kind of just the cheap beer. It's fine. You know, you and it's like we're just having a drink talking. This is just to like have something in our hands while we talk kind of thing.
And I'm going to use that. Like I said, I always used to use the term river beer, but maybe alley beer is something I can use too. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I that especially when you're in college. Like I don't know what your college was like, but like when we would have like parties or whatever, and get a keg of something, like it's expensive to get a keg of beer, so we'd get the cheapest beer possible, Lone Star or God forbid Natty Light. I know I lost us the Natty Light sponsorship there. But like
Oh no.
to me the Natty Light is like one notch above water.
Yeah, when I would go to parties, yeah, it would be a super cheap beer. And like the thing would be like, which feels like a waste now. Like, why didn't we just get stronger stuff? If our goal, because the goal was always to get drunk, right?
Yeah.
At that young of age.
Yeah.
So yeah, we would just be pounding them. Because like, it was like the faster you could drink these, quicker.
Yeah. And I was never a big fan of like I don't know, like when you're first learning how to drink or when you're first drinking beer, like I remember thinking like, "Oh, Heineken, this is like some top-notch stuff," when I first turned like 21 or whatever. And then like as my palate evolved and whatnot, I started getting better. Where we any beer possible beer sponsorships we were going to get, we're probably going to lose all of them because of my statements.
I mean, send us beer. Maybe your beer's better.
Yeah.
We can drink it.
Yeah, but like, I think as you get older, at least in our generation, because I think in our generation that's kind of when craft brewing really blew up. And you could go, like, all these little microbreweries popped up, and they had restaurant fronts. Or I know, like, Austin Beer Works, when I was still living in Austin, like, every Friday they would open up the outdoor area and set up picnic tables and stuff, and some food trucks would park. And you could, like, I forget, it was like $20. You could buy a glass and get, like, three refills or something like that. So, yeah, so people our age and a little younger kind of grew up around that. So like that's I think maybe the younger generation, like our older generation, they kind of were just stuck with the Budweisers and the big brewing companies. Like Sam Adams breaking out was a big deal because Sam Adams was a small brewery. Like at that time, it was a small brewery, and it being able to compete with the big boys was like a big deal back then. But yeah, overall, I think it was a really good episode. I like it more than the first episode. A common complaint I've heard about the first episode was that it just seemed like so much was like crammed together. And I get it. I guess they were just trying to do an exposition dump to prepare people for the rest of the season. But at the same time, I was like, eh. But now it's like, okay, now it feels more like regular King of the Hill. So I'm looking forward to more episodes. How about yourself? What did you think about the episode?
Oh, yeah, I loved this episode a lot. Episode 1, I was worried. And then episode 2, I'm like, yeah, this is what I want. This is kind of what I wanted from coming back from a long hiatus. Like, if I thought they were only going to get one season, these are the kind of episodes I want, where it's like, funny, there's something going on, and then at the end, it's very heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are my favorite King of the Hill episodes, where it's just very, like, the family's coming together, or, like, everyone's grown a little bit. It's like, something, like, pulls at your heartstrings. And I love when an episode does that, and then this is just, like, this is one of those episodes where it's just like, I really love the relationship between Bobby and Hank and like how it's growing and we can see that it's changing. And I really love that Joseph and Dale scene. I love seeing their relationship and how that's grown too. So I'm not worried anymore. If this is the kind of episodes we're going to get for the rest of the season, I'm perfectly happy with that. Episode 1 was just a lot for me. Like I said, it was like too many. Like, this is what's going on in the world now jokes, like, oh, this is what's changed from 2019 to today. So, but this one didn't have, yeah, there was one Nepo baby joke, but besides that, it was just very, like, clean. I guess the reboot thing was a joke too, but like, those felt natural. Like, everything felt very natural to me. It just felt like it flowed easier. There wasn't that many jokes about the culture, and it was more focused on the story. And that's what I think King of the Hill does best, is focus on a good story.
100%. We will focus more on some more stories in the near future. Please stay tuned as we have 8 more episodes left and hopefully more after that, because rumor has it, it's been renewed. But until then, I am Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.